Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. But the goal of God giving children belong to God, and what we're supposed to do is raise them up and give them back to God. They're a gift from God to be given back to God. And so I've got some relatives like, well, kids are 40 still living at home. Well, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. They're now adults, and adults do what adults do. Like kind reproduces like kind. And so we went through a thing back in the 70s and 80s where all of a sudden now nobody wants to get married anymore. Why? Well, it's hard. Well, sure it's hard. We're living on an alien planet. Satan is the god of this planet. He steals, kills, and destroys. We don't belong to this planet. We belong to a different kingdom. We belong to a different God. We're behind enemy lines. We're the light. We're the salt. We're making things better. We have job security. We do every day. I'm going to feed the hungry. I'm going to help sick people get well. I'm going to visit people in prison. I'm going to help poor people, help orphans, help widows. I am what's happening. We are the light and the salt of this planet. What happens if you get caught up in the negative thing? It goes the wrong direction. So every year at Christmas, I would sit down and still do it with my kids. I want you to understand there's four things you need to know. This is a real short sermon, but it's real simple. Number one, there is trouble everywhere. Tests and trials come to everybody. Nobody's immune. I don't care. Well, they're not going through anything. You don't know them. Everybody's going through something. Everybody's going through something. And what happens is if you don't know the Word of God, you'll think you're special. Well, you just don't know what I've been through, and we don't care. Now, I've got a huge family reunions. I go to big reunions every year, and everybody's trying to out-talk. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, if you think that's something, you don't know what I've been through. Well, I've been something worse than that. Shut up. We're trying to out-brag one another. Well, the Bible says we're the salt and the light. We're not supposed to be doing that. So, here, I sit every kid down every year and I do this. Number one, the Bible says there's trouble. So, this is real simple. It's real simple. Now, this is a big study, but I've just got it boiled down to this. You can go to my website. You can download this. I do this every year. Same four simple things. Guys, I've told you, there's trouble. Now, there's not one scripture in your Bible about trouble that's negative. There are no scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that have the word troubling that's a negative scripture. All scriptures about trouble in positive. God's good all the time to everybody. And you've got to get that in you deep. You think, well, nothing good's ever happened to me. No, you're just thinking wrong. So listen to this. I'll read this real quick. Psalm 34, verse 6. In my desperation, I prayed to the Lord, and he listened, and he saved me from all my troubles. Say all.
All.
Everybody say all.
All.
Well, that's good. Psalm 34, 17. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help, and he rescues them from all their troubles. Say all. Now I could read it all day long. All their troubles, all the time, every time. All the troubles, all the time. I don't care what you're going through. All your troubles, all the time, every time. God is good. God does move through one thing. It takes faith to please God. And faith's involved by what you say. God inhabits praise, not complaints. So I told my kids the whole life, you start griping, hell's going to show up. Hell shows up when the mouth goes negative. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Call those things that be not as though they are. When God looked out into the universe one day, he said, light be and light was. God said, the things I do, you shall do also. Well, are you sure one of those crazy naming and claiming? No, I just believe what the Bible says. How'd you get saved? I believe something and I said it with my mouth. What happens is, well, I'll believe when I see it. Then you're never going to see it. You got to start saying what God says. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I don't care if I got alligators under my armpits and it's the worst day of my life. Well, you know, God's redeemed me. I have been delivered and I've been set free. God said so and he can't lie. God's looking for somebody to stand up and give him some room to work. God inhabits praise. Listen to these. Proverbs 11, verse 6. Proverbs 11, 6. The godly are rescued from trouble. Proverbs 13:20. walk with wise, become wise, associate with fools, and then you're going to get in trouble. Proverbs 13, 21, trouble chases sinners, but blessing chases the righteous. Proverbs 15, 15, for the despondent every day brings trouble, but the happy heart lives in a continual feast. Who lives in a continual feast? The happy heart. What is that? You make a decision. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it. God, I'm coming bold to the throne of grace to get mercy out in time of need. Lord, I just want to thank you that you've been good. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how you're going to get us out of this, but you've already worked all these things out for my good. You saw this trouble coming before I was ever born. You've already made a way out. You said you've already made a way out. So I think, I don't know the way out, but you do, and I'm going to thank you for it right now because God inhabits praise. So all of a sudden, you've got to start getting your mind going the right direction. So I told my kids every year, trouble comes to everybody. Some people just stay in it. Some people might get up. How do you get out of it? Well, you got to start thinking different. So this is the next one. These are very simple scriptures. Think. You can download all this. This is think. There's pages. There's just one. Proverbs 13, 16. Wise people think before they act. I told my kids, you need to think before you do something. Think before you say something. Before your mouth engages, get your brain involved. Think a little bit. I like this. Proverbs 15, 28. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. Proverbs 21, 29. The wicked bluff their way through, but the virtuous think before they act. Proverbs 29, 20. There's more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Ooh, I like that one. Philippians 4, verse 8. Fix your thoughts on whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Don't think about those other things. They're trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. There's a war from day one, from Adam and Eve's home. And day one, the devil's trying to challenge what God told them. Are you sure God said? Are you sure God's good? Are you sure God's going to bless you? From day one, hell attacks God. We got to choose. I choose to believe God. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm going to say so. I'm going to fix my thoughts on God, not on something else. So every year I'd go through this at Christmas. Number one, trouble's everywhere. How are you going to get out? By how you think. Think on these things. Don't think on stupid things. I don't think I'm ever going to get out of this. You're probably not. My daughter got a degree in accounting. She made straight A's in accounting, made one B. She got a job at a great bank and took five interviews. She finally got in, major job, major promotion. And she started off with a great salary, but they promised big raises. 3 years later, no raises. The crunch hit in the oil industry, and there's no raises. And so I go to her house one day. I'm just going in to pick something up, and I go through, and I got a key to all the houses because I helped pay for them. So I go through the house and walked in. She's on the couch. She's sitting there crying. I said, what's wrong with you? They're not going to give me a raise. They told me 3 years ago they're going to give me a raise. They're never going to give me a raise. I said, really? Yes. I'm just going to have to quit and get another job. Really? Who's hiring? What? You barely got this job. Now, who's hiring? I didn't know there must be jobs that broke open last night somewhere. Where are all these jobs at? You got a good job, don't you? Yeah, but they promised me a raise. I said, well, what do you think? Well, I don't think they're ever going to give me one. Well, then according to Matthew 18, 19, I set myself in agreement with you. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood. That bank will never give you a raise. Many people down there will get raises, but in Jesus' name, you will never get a raise. What are you saying? Honey, I love you. I want what you want. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over this thing. I bind every devil. You will never, ever, in Jesus' name, ever get a raise at that bank. In Jesus' name. Well, Dad, don't you say that. Honey, I want what you want. Since you want it, I want it. Well, Dad, don't say that. Then you don't say it. Quit letting stupid come out of your mouth. Now, that was in April. By December, she got a 40% raise and a huge bonus, and she was Employee of the Year at that bank. Until you decide to change this and get in line with this, nothing's going to change. Well, I believe it when I see it. You're never going to see it. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We're supposed to say so. Ooh, I like that. I'm blessed myself. So we got trouble everywhere, but we got to think different. We do that by feeding on the Word of God. That's when we go to a great local church. We listen to our pastor. We read our Bible every day. Open the book. Just read it. Just read two or three verses of Proverbs or Psalm. Feed yourself something because that word's powerful. It scares hell. The Bible says when the word comes, the devil comes immediately. What's he looking for? To steal that word. Don't let that word get in you. This scares hell. This scares hell. Hell's terrified of this. So do anything, watch anything, think, just don't feed on this, don't think on this, and don't read this. And what's going to happen? Hell's coming big time. This is the only thing that scares hell is the Word of God. So I wanted my kids to know. So every year we go through this thing again. So I said, okay, guys, you know trouble's everywhere. You need to know to think. So I put this kind of little four-step thing together. I said, you need to think, you need to say, and you need to do. If you think right, you'll talk right. I tell anybody, we knew this in business years ago. You get somebody in a five-minute conversation, you can mark them. In a five-minute conversation with another human, you can mark what they've been thinking about, what they've been reading, what they've been watching. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. I know what you've been watching. I know what you've been reading. I know what you've been thinking about because it comes out of your mouth. You can't stop it. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, for life and death and the power of the tongue. So every year at this time, I'd say to my kids, okay, let's just, I don't know what kind of year you had, I really don't care. Let's think about next year. You want a great year next year? Mm-hmm. Well, you need to know something. Trouble's coming next year because the devil's still alive and he's doing stuff. Till he burns in hell forever, he's still going to try to mess with you. But if you'll think right, you can resist him and he will flee in sheer terror. And if you'll start saying right, God inhabits praise. So you start saying God's word. God watches over his word, not your word. God watches over his word. Are you saying God's word? Because that's what God watches over. God doesn't watch over my word. God watches over his word coming out of my mouth. So you've got to start saying what God says. What do you believe? Well, I believe I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, which is poverty, sickness, and death. That God orders my steps and directs my paths. He guides me to all truth, shows me things to come. God talks to me when I go to sleep, when I wake up, and I walk during the day. That doesn't mean every day is going to be perfect. Why? Because hell still tries to make a run at you. Hell makes a run at everybody. What are you going to do? Resist hell. What are you going to do? I'm going to start saying what God says. We just came back from a place that had a horrible hurricane, a few years ago, and some people are still rebuilding. But you can't imagine the positive thing of the people there that know Jesus. Man, it's been great, but God's built, we're building it back better, stronger, we're going to move further in, we're doing greater things. This house now is concrete, it's not just out of wood. And so what happened when hell hit? We got better. What happened with it? We got better. Tough people, it's like you have to, it's a fight. It's called the fight of faith. It's, you have to resist something. And so Christians thought, well, if I get saved, I'll just live in la la land forever. No, you get saved, hell's coming. Woo. That's not a bumper sticker. You don't want that one. So the doing things where I'm going to get, just kind of close this out. This is, I do this every day with my kids. Like I said, what you thinking about, there's trouble everywhere. What are you thinking about? What are you saying out of your mouth? Well, Dad, I believe I've got divine favor down there. Bible says God surrounds the righteous with a shield of divine favor. People like you and they don't even know why. God did it for Daniel. He did it for Joseph. They were the wrong color, the wrong culture, the wrong religion, the wrong language, and they ended up running the nations that tried to enslave them. How'd you end up running this nation? They tried to take me as a slave. What'd you do? I took over. It's a good book. You ought to read it. Let the redeemed the Lord say so. Not the negative. That's why Joseph in prison, he never let anything negative come out of his mouth. Man, my brother sold me into slavery and a bunch of stinking, no good, thumb-sucking, Billy Bob, north end, but southbound. No, he just went and started serving people. And then God was talking, and Pharaoh had a dream, and next thing you know, he's the second most powerful person on this planet. In 24 hours, he went from a person in a prison to the second most powerful person on planet Earth. How'd you get here? I put a guard on my mouth. I don't say anything negative. What are you? I believe God gave me a dream one time. People are going to bow down to me one day. Well, that's just a stupid dream. Yeah, have what you want. I'll take mine. I think God spoke to me. And everything he dreamed came to pass. It was amazing. So, this is it. This is the close. It's real short. This is what I do with the kids. And I read this. I think I read some of this last year. So, this is where I take the kids. They know where it's coming. They got their own copies. Let's say Ephesians chapter 6. We've got armor. We have to put it on 24 hours a day. Wow. We're on an alien planet behind enemy lines, but we've been promised victory. But we do have to fight. So there are certain things involved in fighting. So Ephesians chapter 6 from the New Living Translation. Here's what it is. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 6, New Living Translation. Put on all of God's armor. It says, put this on. Now he's talking to Christians. You need to put on the armor. Go, why? You're in a war. What kind of armor is it? Where there's a shield of faith, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. Get your armor on. How you think is critical. Put on all of God's armor. Not some of it. Put on all of it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Number two, stand against all the strategies of the devil. What happened? Well, the devil, that's the god of this planet, he's planning against you, against your marriage, against your business, against your family. There's strategies from hell against all people that are believers. What have I been told to do? Well, what am I going to do? Stand against it. How are you going to stand? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How do you stand? By saying what God says. It's just simple. It's in Psalms. It's really good. We sung it when I was in elementary school. Number three, we are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. We're not fighting against our brother-in-laws or our in-laws or our boss or our government or the Democrats or Republicans. It's spiritual war. What the devil wants to do is get involved fighting flesh, because flesh is not your enemy. Flesh is not my enemy. It's a spiritual war. So I'm telling you, listen, everybody's going through trouble. Watch what you think. Guard your heart. Watch what you say and watch what you do. You're to be a blessing. Somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go two. Thank you for your coat. Give me a shirt. Bury them in love. Bury them in love. It messes with their mind. Because they think, well, I'll get them. And then when they say something nice, well, God bless you. You no good blankety blank blank. God bless you. You blankety and so-and-so blankety blank. God bless you. You're blessed. God bless you. But the minute you join in that battle, you have lost. Don't let evil come out of your mouth. Say something nice. God bless you. Now, I'm not going to say hang with you or eat lunch with you. I'm going about my business. But also, you realize this is a war. We've been promised victory, but there's certain rules to how you fight it. Put on every piece of God's armor. We're going to stand against mighty powers. We're standing against evil spirits. We're to resist the enemy in the time of evil. We are to stand our ground. So I'm just going to just read. It says, put on, stand, fight, powers, evil spirits. Put on, resist, stand. There's a lot you got to do. So I tell my kids, well, it's just not working out. Well, what are you doing? You know, the Bible says you got to, when they came to the Jordan River, God told them, put your foot on it and I'll part it. You know what they told God? No, you got to part it first. No, I don't work that way. Faith that works is dead. You put your foot on it and I'll part it. Well, you part it, we'll put our foot on it. Then it's never going to part. Lift up that staff and I'll split that sea. You need to split it first. No, faith that works is dead. Do something. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the strength. I don't have the patience. Yes, you do. All things are possible to him that believes. I can do all things. I don't care what the boss said, what the economist said, what the doctor said, what the dentist said. No, all things are possible to him that believes. I believe in the God of miracles that raises the dead, that can walk on water. My brother's in heaven at the right hand of the Father praying for me right now. I've got Jesus Christ praying for me right now. I can't lose. I give up, but I can't lose. I can quit, but I can't lose. I know, I'm blessed myself. Put on the belt of truth, you know, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. What's he doing? He's taking shots all the time. People think they earn something. You don't earn nothing. You know, it's a gift from God. We've been saved. We've been blessed. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to start thinking right. I'm going to start saying right. And I'm going to start doing right. What do you have? God will watch over that, and I'll end up blessed. And people will ask you. They're going to ask you about that. Hey, did you come for that? Mm-hmm. How'd you come for that? Well, it's God. Why'd you overcome? Well, it was God. I remember when Corey, my 18-month-old baby, Sunday morning, I'm going to church, three Sunday morning services. I'm in the ministry. I've quit my job as an engineer, gone back to Bible school. I'm living for God as much as I can. Hardly not putting bread on the table, but I'm living for God and I'm excited. All of a sudden, I get a phone call and said, Joe, your wife's on the phone, said, your daughter's over at the hospital. Now, my daughter's at home. They're coming to the second service this morning. No, it's her. So I got on the phone and it's my wife. So you got to get over here. Something's wrong with our baby, 18-month-old baby. And I said, what is it? I don't know. I drive over to the hospital. Church is going on. I should be at church. I come and see my doctor. Spirit-filled doctor. He's a missionary in Russia today. Spirit-filled doctor, Joe, we got a problem. I think your daughter has spinal meningitis. Now, this is my 18-month-old baby. 18-month-old baby. She has spinal meningitis. I didn't even know what that was then. Well, and he said to my face, Joe, right now it's pretty severe. She's unconscious, running high fever. I give her a 50-50 chance of living. Now, you ever been told that about your kid? Your baby that did nothing wrong, they've not sinned, they're not old enough to sin. My baby that was in home in her bed on Sunday morning, hell's made her run at my baby who's 18 months old in her bed on Sunday morning. Hell doesn't care who you are or where you're at. Hell hates everybody the same. So we've got to not just, what is it? Shut up and just be the redeemed Lord and say so. So there, so he did a spinal tap, and that's an ugly thing if you even know what that is. So he came back and said, well, she has spinal meningitis, and we're going to run up to ICU. And so we're there, and some little prayer lady came in, older lady, and she wants to pray with us. I don't want to pray. My baby's dying. I can't figure out what's going on. Did I open the door? Did I sin? What did I do wrong? And so we prayed with her just to be nice. And so when she left, my wife does a little hula dance there in the thing with her eyes shut. And so I sit down in a chair. My wife's twirling in a circle with her eyes closed, twirling around and around. My baby's in ICU dying. My wife's twirling in a circle. And I said, my dad's right. I'm in a cult. I'm in a cult. I bet I'm not even saved. I'm not even saved. I'm probably going to hell. Those thoughts are running through my mind like freight trains. And all of a sudden, Dr. said, hey, we can come on up. And I said, okay. I didn't let anything come out of my mouth. So we come up there, and the doctor says, hey, Joe, we need to do another spinal tap. Please don't stick that needle in my baby's spine again. He signed this. So I signed it. Another spinal tap. 30 minutes later, they come out, and I see my baby. She's laying there on a cooling blanket. Her fever's so high, my 18-month-old baby's in a cooling blanket. They got a tube up her nose. They got a needle in her head and one in her arm. They say she's dying. And so the doc comes out and she showed the syringe and said, Joe, this is the fluid we took off your baby's spine an hour ago. This is the fluid we just took off. The fluid we just took off is perfectly clear. There's no medical sign of spinal meningitis. She's running high fever. She's unconscious. But there's no medical sign of spinal meningitis. We might be in the middle of a miracle. So I just nodded my head. So anyway, we stayed there all night long. And so she was in intensive care for 10 days. The next morning they came back and said, well, she's going to live. She's not going to die. She regained her consciousness. Praise God, there's God in heaven. But she's going to be mentally retarded. It's done damage to her brain. And so I just looked at them and they walked out. All I could say was, I said, well, my baby has the mind of Christ. I said it out loud to myself. My baby has the mind of Christ. My baby has the mind of Christ. My baby has the mind of Christ. I didn't feel nothing. 2 days later, they come back and said, well, Joe, come to find out, her brain's fine, but she's lost hearing in both ears. So I just looked at them and they left. So I sat there and I just said, my baby has the ear of the learned. My baby has the ear of the learned. My baby. 2 days later, they come, hey, Joe, guess what? Her ears are fine now. So I just kept looking. 10 days later, my spirit-filled doctor walked in and said, well, Joe, we can't find anything else wrong with her. I guess you can take her home. And we did. That baby that almost died years ago now owns half my publishing company. She can hear you whisper upstairs. Good ears. Everybody goes through a fight. Well, I hope this year's better than last year. Well, then you're a wussy. God's looking for somebody that'll like to go do something. That's why he loved David. What do you love about this kid? Well, this little snot-nosed kid whose family hates his guts, this little sheep herder who smells like sheep, you know. Three of his brothers are going to ride with Saul to kill him. David, is your family like you? No, they're riding with Saul trying to kill me right now. What are you? Well, I'm going to be the next king of Israel, God told me. I killed a lion, I killed a bear, I killed a giant. Now I'm whipping nations. Why? You so big? No, I'm still the short little kid in my family. I'm still the runt of my family. The King James says he was the ruddy-complected runt of his family. What's going to happen to this runt? He's going to be the king all kings will be measured against. Why? He let God. It's not who you are. It's who God is. It's not me. It's God. And if we'll let him, he loves to show off. So I'll finish this up. It says, this is, put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your offensive weapon, the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Stay alert and be persistent. So I tell people about praying in the Spirit. They say, what do you do? Well, it says pray in the Spirit at all times. What does that mean? Well, you know, we used to make fun of them called the Shandai Hikimo who stole my Honda people. I made fun of them half my life. Man, is that a bunch of Pentecostal dog? Sounds like a bunch of dogs barking, chickens clucking in there. What are they doing? Well, they're praying in the Holy Ghost. What is that? That's just stupid. No, it's God. The Bible says, Paul wrote, says, when I pray in the Spirit, when I don't know how to pray, he said this way, Romans 8, he said, when I don't know how to pray, I pray in the Spirit, for the Spirit of God will help me pray according to God's perfect will for my life. When I can't figure out what's going on, I don't know what's happened. Hell's come from all sides. What are you going to do? I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to let it rip. What are you praying? I don't have a clue, but God is praying through me to Father God in heaven, and hell's getting ready to get whipped. So I've told my kids the whole life. And I would make them, and I'm not embarrassed about it now. I'm sure somebody could arrest me years ago. I'd grab my kids, and I did it when I was a school administrator. And it was a private school, so I got away with it for 10 years. We'd have chapel classes and about 700 kids. And in chapel, I'd bring them in, and I said, okay, everybody stand up. I said, oh, dear Lord, not today, not today. Yes, we are. Okay, on the count of three, we're going to pray in tongues as loud as fast as we can. Ready? One, two, three. And I say, pray, pray aloud. And I look, you're not praying. Everybody shut up, stop. You're not praying. Come up front. You're going to pray in front of everybody. You want to pray? We're going to come up front and pray. I'm going to count three. Every one of you spirit filled in here, you're going to pray in tongues as loud as fast as you can. I'm counting to three. You get to pray up front this time. Anybody else want to pray up front? No, we'll pray right here. Okay, good. And so I'd count to three again. I'm making pray real loud and real fast in tongues for about 10 seconds. Okay, that's enough. Okay, take a break. Okay, one, two, three, pray again. And I got them used to praying in the spirit. Because most, well, you don't pray in the spirit unless something really important's happening. No, you pray in the spirit all the time. Paul said, pray at all times in the spirit. At all times in the spirit. At all times. When you wash your dishes, when you're mowing the grass, when you're changing clothes, when you're watching ball game. You can shine that hickey over the best of them and still concentrate on what you're doing. God himself will pray through to the Father his perfect will for your life. And so every year I get my kids, and say, listen, trouble's everywhere, but you got to watch how you think. Watch what your mouth says and start doing what God said. What do you say to do? Pray at all times in the spirit. You don't have to be goofy or weird or strange. You got to be the best person at your place of work. You got to be doing the best job. You got to be getting the most raises. You got to have the most honor. Why? You got the spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead inside of you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. But you got to let him out. So don't wait till something bad happens. Just do it all the time. People used to make fun of me because I'd make up songs. My kids would make fun of me. Dad doesn't know one word to one song. He makes up his own words every time. And I do. So I'd be singing something famous because I grew up in the South. So we listen to bluegrass music all the time. Some bluegrass and country. So I'd take off some bluegrass song. Dad, what are the words? They're my own words. I make up my own words. Sing my own song. We were believing for our first house and in Blodgett, Missouri. Drove out and looked at this land. I thought, I can do this. I can swing this. Bought 2.5 acres. We barely put milk on the table, but I got to stretch. I knew I had to stretch. So it's in Blodgett, Missouri. So I drive out there. We're driving back. I just bought the land. Don't have a house. Don't have money for a house. I barely have money for the land. So I'm just singing, humming to myself. My wife said, what are you doing? Thinking, I got a song coming on. Got a song coming. So I just breathed. Well, thank you, Lord, for my new home. Thank you, Lord, for my new home. Thank you, Lord, for my new home out on Blodgett Road. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my new home. Thank you, Lord, for my new home. I didn't get any other words. That's the only word to say. It drove my wife nuts. I did that for a year and a half. And then I got a new home out on Blodgett Road. God inhabits praise. It's called the sacrifice of praise because nobody feels like doing it. Let's just praise God a minute. I don't feel like praising God. Well, that's real important. It means you ought to do it really right now. Really ought to get into it right now. You ought to do it when you don't feel like it because it allows God to come in the middle of something that you don't sense him. God wants to show up. He inhabits praise. There are four angels around the throne. They have six wings, not two. These are weird things. They got six wings. They got eyeballs on every side of their head. Got four different faces. All they do for eternity. When you get to heaven, you'll see them. Get the God on the throne up there, and the four creatures, what are they doing? They cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. An angel volleys that across. The angel back there, he volleys it back. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. This angel, this, he volleys, holy. If you're in heaven, say, hey, God, what are these guys doing? They're praising me. Holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty. I said, well, how long are they going to do this? They're going to do it forever. Shut your face up, son. Listen to them. Holy, holy. Will they ever get a break? They don't need a break. They're angels. They're going to do it forever. Shut your face up. Holy, holy. God made four angels who will never do anything for eternity except praise him. God inhabits praise. He doesn't inhabit gripes, complaints, cussing, thinking. He inhabits praise. You've got to learn early in your childhood. Man, I patted my kids around. I said, man, if hell's coming, get your mouth open, your armpits up, and start thanking God. Father, I don't know what's going on, but I thank you. You work all things out to my good. You're my redeemer. You are my deliverer. You're going to make the devil pay back seven times whatever he's trying to steal from me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let's stand up. So we go through this every year, and my kids will look at me, and they'll always be being polite, and they'll sit down. Okay, Dad, we're going to do it. I said, we're going to do it real slow. And I do the 4-hour thing, 1 hour on each one of them. I said, the scriptures say about trouble. There's trouble everywhere. So quit thinking you're special. Well, nobody's been through what I've been through. Shut your face up. Everybody's been through something. Shut your face up. Everybody's going through some kind of hell. Trouble everywhere. But you need to change your thinking. What do you need to think? Who you are in him, in whom in Christ. So we've got the 133 scriptures. I make them read them, take turns reading them. Who are you in Christ, in him? Do you know who you are? Because if you know who you are, you're acting stupid because you're thinking stupid. So let's change your thinking. Then let's change your saying. Well, if you are a child of God, you ought to say so. Let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed say so. Let the weak say, well, I'm strong. I don't feel like it. Shut your face up. Well, I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong. That's God. I'm strong. Yeah, you get, the longer you say it, the madder you'll get and the louder you will yell it. Let the redeemed Lord say so. Let the poor say I'm rich. People talk about the economy all the time. There will always be an economy until Jesus comes. Some are going to be filthy, stinking rich then, though. Who are they? Well, they're starting to say something different. We're always poor. We've always been poor. Then you're always going to be poor. No, I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm going to say so. I've been redeemed from the cursed law, which is poverty. Then I get them all the way down to the end and said, this is a fight, guys. You fight with the mouth, not your fist. You fight with your mouth. Let the redeemed Lord say so. So I believe every year I say that you got an opportunity. I don't care what kind of you had. Next year, 2019, is going to be the greatest year of your life. So we're going to say it right now. Say this after. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. It sets me free. It keeps me free. According to your word, I declare 2019 will be the greatest year of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So let it be written, so let it be done. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word that sets us free and keeps us free. May the Spirit of God do his job, which is to bring your word to our remembrance. So I think this is going to be a jubilee year, Father. It's going to be the best year we've ever seen, we've ever had. Father, we're going to raise our expectations because we're going to raise our standard, Lord. We're looking to you, not anybody else. We thank you, Father, for the great things going to happen in 2019 in Jesus' name. And everybody said, hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.